Anyone who, Atmanaha,
of his own real identity, the soul,
Dishaguneshu,
among the visible objects,
beginning with the body,
sun,
being situated in that position, iti.
Thus,
Yavasyate continues to act.
Svavyatirekata,
as if the body were independent of the soul.
Abuddha,
a rascal.
Vina anuvadam, without proper analytical study.
Na, also, tat,
the body and other visible objects.
Manishitam,
such considerations having been discussed.
Samyak.
Fully.
Yataha,
because he is a fool.
Tyaktam,
are rejected.
Upadadat,
accepts this body as reality. Puman,
a person.
Translation import by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: one who considers his visible body, which is a product of the three modes of nature, to be independent of the soul, is unaware of the basis of existence, and therefore he is a rascal. Those who are learned have rejected his conclusion, because one can understand through full discussion that with no basis in soul, the visible body and senses would be insubstantial. Nonetheless, although his conclusion has been rejected, a foolish person considers it a reality. Purport: without the basic principle of the soul, the body cannot be produced. So-called scientists have tried in many ways to produce a living body in their chemical laboratories, but no one has been able to do it, because unless the spirit soul is present, a body cannot be prepared from material elements. Since scientists are now enamored of theories about the chemical composition of the body, we have challenged many scientists to make even a small egg. The chemicals in eggs can be found very easily. There is a white substance and a yellow substance covered by a shell, and modern scientists should very easily be able to duplicate all this. But even if they were to prepare such an egg and put it in an incubator, this man-made chemical egg would not produce a chicken. The soul must be added, because there is no question of a chemical combination for life. Those who think that life can exist without the soul have therefore been described here as a Buddha, foolish rascals. Again, there are those who reject the body, regarding it as insubstantial. They are of the same category of fools. One can neither reject the body nor accept it as substantial. The substance is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and both the body and the soul are energy of the Supreme Godhead, as described by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 7.4.5. Umira ponalo vayu kam mano buddhir evacha ahankara itiame bina prakriti ashtada aparayam itastvanyam prakritim vidimyakaram jiva bhutam mahabaho yayadam daryate jagat. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, all together these eight comprise my separate material energies. But beside this inferior nature, O mighty Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mine, which consists of all living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. The body, therefore, has a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as the soul does. Since both of them are energy of the Lord, neither of them is false, because they come from the reality. One who does not know this secret of life is described as a Buddha. According to the Vedic injunction, Aita damyam idam sarvam sarvam kalv idam brahma. Everything is the Supreme Brahman. Therefore, both the body and the soul are Brahman, since matter and spirit emanate from Brahman. Not knowing the conclusion of the Vedas, some people accept the material nature as substance, and others accept the spirit soul as substance. But actually, Brahman is the substance. Brahman is the cause of all causes. The ingredients and the immediate cause of the material, manifested material world are Brahman, and we cannot make the ingredients of this world independent of Brahman. Furthermore, since the ingredients and the immediate cause of this material manifestation are Brahman, both of them are truth, satya. There is no validity to the expression Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. The world is not false. Jnanis reject this world, and foolish persons accept this world as a reality, and in this way they are both misguided. Although the body is not as important as the soul, we cannot say that it is false. Yet the body is temporary, and only foolish materialistic persons who do not have full knowledge of the soul regard the temporary body as reality and engage in decorating this body. Both of these pitfalls, rejecting of the body as false and acceptance of the body as all in all, can be avoided when one is fully situated in Krishna consciousness. If we regard this world as false, we fall into the category of asuras, who say that this world is unreal, with no foundation and no God in control. Asatyam apratishtam te jagad ahur anishvaram. As described in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, this is the conclusion of demons. Hare Krishna. In the first part, we have the classical challenge that Srila Prabhupada is putting to materialistic scientists. And because science means, or it should mean, following scientific method. The scientific method means that you have some hypothesis, you have some experiment, and this experiment confirms this hypothesis, and then you get to the conclusion. Oh, yes, it's correct. So, that's what scientific means. So you need to have some experiment that proves the hypothesis. Srila Prabhupada would insist many times that what we are talking is not some sentimentalism, is spiritual science. So science means you have some experiment, you have some hypothesis, you have some experiment, and this experiment fits that hypothesis. It's not just some strange theory, you know, like. So, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also says that this is pratyaksha agamam dharmyam susukam kartum avyam. This is directly experienceable. Devotional service is something that you can experiment for yourself. And the result of this is happiness. This is science. So Krishna says that if we engage in devotional service, then we will be happy. There is no need for faith, you know, like you don't have to believe, you know, like You have to, you experience. You try it and you experience. It's working. So Srila Prabhupada is asking the same thing of from the modern scientists, because there's this theory of evolution, and there's some theory, and Srila Prabhupada says, where's the experiment? You have to prove it. So there's this classic challenge. Actually, at some point the devotees did a scientific convention. So they invited all the scientists, and they invited the scientist, the hen. Hen is the female of the chicken, the mother of the chicken. I don't know how it's called. Kokosh. No, the wife of the kokosh.
Wife.
Wife.
To pani žena od kokoši ni petele.
Anyway, the mother of the chicken. Okay. Okay. Okay, so they invited this boat, and they said, look, we have, they invited the scientists and say, look, we will provide you all the chemicals you want, you have to make something alive. And this, they made a big promotion, I don't remember where it was, somewhere in Asia, I think. And they made a big promotion, and they invited the scientists, and then they said, okay, you come and you make something alive, whatever you want, but it has to be alive. And the theory from the modern scientists is that they can make it, and the theory from the Bhagavad Gita is that life comes from life. So they say, okay, we make this. So they did this, and after some time, the hen made an egg, and after some time, the hen was sitting on the egg, and after a few days, I'm not an expert, then there was a chicken. So as a result of this scientific convention, they decided that the hen is the best scientist, because it can produce life. So this is like joking a bit. But actually, if you look at this evolutionism, there's no proof. There's not even one case where they can show that they can make life out of matter. So even if this is still accepted, there's nowadays there's quite some scientists which are attacking this theory. They say, oh, where's the proof? But still this is accepted, like Srila Prabhupada says. No, actually the text says, nonetheless, although his conclusion has been rejected, a foolish person considers it a reality. So people still think, oh, this life comes out of matter. So this is one type of philosophy. One philosophy is that the body is all there is. So the conclusion of this philosophy is carpe diem, live the day. We only have one life. Enjoy as much as you can. Or as Charvaka Muni says, beg, borrow or steal, but somehow you gotta get ki. You have to eat properly. Never mind what happens in the next life, you have to enjoy somehow. So this is. And then there's this opposite part of this philosophy, which is like, oh, this material world is an illusion. I cannot enjoy, so I will ignore it. Go away. This is bad. So this is this happens many times. You can see people, they try to enjoy the material world, and at some point they get frustrated. And then they get like, oh, I don't want to hear about this anymore. You know, like that's typical cases, relationship. He finds this new girlfriend, nowadays they don't marry, no? And he found this new girlfriend, and life is good, it's all good, and we're gonna enjoy, it's gonna be fun. And then something happens, and then his frustration comes, and they're like, and then for some time, he's like, oh, I don't want to have a girlfriend anymore in my whole life, it's just suffering. And after some time, you know, like, 1 month, 2 months, like, yeah, but somehow, you know, maybe if you try a bit differently. So, as a new girlfriend. And the same cycle. It's called Boga Tyaga. And this happens with many things. You try to enjoy, it's called Boga. And then you're renounced. Okay, this is suffering. There's so many people, they go to the forest. You know, like they get frustrated and they go to the forest, and they in the forest they're like very happy 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, and then they see, oh, but where's the enjoyment? Because it's the nature of the soul to enjoy, to look for enjoyment, and if you don't know how to find higher enjoyment, you have to find it somewhere, so you'll go back to this lower type of enjoyment. So this is a cycle, and most of the people are going through this cycle. They try to enjoy, and then they see, oh, I cannot enjoy, and then they get detached, and then they try to engage joy again. So it's like continual enjoying, renouncing, enjoying, renouncing. Boga Tyaga, yeah, finish. So Srila Prabhupada gives here also the solutions. He says that both are bad. If you consider the body is a source of enjoyment, then you're gonna have to suffer. And if you think the body is illusion, it's Maya, it's also a problem. So he gives the solution. He says, oh, this body belongs to Krishna. This body is Krishna's energy. And we have from Vedic literature this example of watering the root of the tree. If you have a tree, if you try to water the leaves, which means the individual soul, you have to enjoy separately, then it's not gonna work. You're gonna feel something is not working. But if you water the root of the tree, then everything in the tree will be properly nourished. So that's the whole idea. So if you try to satisfy Krishna, which is the root of the tree, then everything will be alright. You'll feel happiness, the real happiness. So that's actually our whole philosophy, that we don't try to enjoy and also don't try to renounce, we try to please Krishna. Very simple. So, see, it's true. Of course, we're not following any of this philosophy. We're not trying to enjoy. We're not trying to renounce. We're bhaktas. We're devotees. We're trying to please Krishna. But in practice, we can see that we sometimes have the tendency to enjoy, and sometimes we have the tendency to renounce. We can see this in many areas. For example, we go for Harinam. Yeah. Sometimes we try to enjoy. We go to Harinam and say, oh, today is Harinam. It's going to be so much fun. And then you're like, maybe. For me, not for Krishna. Who cares about Krishna? I'm gonna go and have some fun. Sometimes we think like that. And sometimes we say, oh, I was like last time in Harinam and it was raining and it's not so much fun for me. So this time I'm not coming anymore. So the idea is, the right question is not how will I enjoy or how will I renounce. It's the right question is, what does Krishna want me to do? So, and or more specific, you can ask, what does Srila Prabhupada and his representative want me to do? What do they want me to do? I was searching because we have this, we're planning for Padayatra, and we were thinking how to improve our Harinams. And I was searching and to find if there's some manuals, you know, like someone who does this already and they do it properly. So I found quite one Harinam manual and one Kirtan standard manual. Kirtan, so we think what's to do that. Apparently there's some group which are in ISKCON, which are, they have devised a manual which is 200 pages long of how to do Kirtan, how to sing Hare Krishna. So you would think, oh, what's so complicated to sing Hare Krishna? You just sing Hare Krishna, no? But the idea is not to sing Hare Krishna. The idea is to sing Hare Krishna in a way that is pleasing to Krishna. Because when you chant Hare Krishna, you should please Krishna. That's the right mood of chanting Hare Krishna. Like, what is pleasing to Krishna? So I find, of course, there's many things, but just some parts. So there's some things which sometimes we might do differently, because for some reason. So for example, the key idea in chanting Hare Krishna is to concentrate on the holy name. So for example, sometimes we might have many instruments, but Srila Prabhupada's idea was that we should focus on the holy name, not on the instruments. So there's some room conversation. He says, the other musical instrument, if he plays, his attention will be diverted in musical instrument, not to chanting. We have to see melody, whether it is going on nicely. But it is not good. Our concentration should be hearing Hare Krishna. That is bhakti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu simply did karatala, kola, mridanga. That's all. In those days, of course, there was no harmonium, but many stringed instruments were there. Sitar, esaraj, but these things were not used. Sometimes we do use to attract, but it is not required. So Srila Prabhupada's idea of kirtan is that you use kartals and mridanga. And he actually explains, Ravati Nandana Prabhu explains that Srila Prabhupada said this in a Sunday feast class. Srila Prabhupada gave a Sunday feast class lecture about kirtana. And he said things that I never heard before him say at other times. He remarked that melodic instruments, including the harmonium, are not meant for kirtana, and he explained why. He said that the ear will automatically follow musical strains, and then our attention will be diverted from the mantra. So that's the reason why during arati we don't use harmonium, because if you use harmonium you tend to follow. I was checking when we were on the bus, and I was checking myself, because I just read this and I was like, oh, is this true? And when you have the accordion or the harmonium, you don't, you naturally, your attention goes to the harmonium or to the accordion, and it goes away from the Maha Mantra. Anyway, just some example. Other thing, there's this very interesting event. Tejas Prabhu is talking, and he says that we had kirtan at the Ramalila grounds in March 1976, and one devotee was leading, and tens of thousands were attending and chanting. After the program, Srila Prabhupada and I were alone in the back tent waiting for his servant in the car. As you know, he would often ask rhetorical question, and he asked, "So, what do you think of the kirtan?" The devotee says, "It was okay," and he was waiting for to see what was the right answer. Srila Prabhupada's definition was as far, no, it was not nice. It was clanging and banging. Kirtana should be sweet and melodious. Come, let us go to the ashram and have kirtana. So the devotees were chanting in ecstasy, like sometimes there's this idea, if you have at least 5 mridangas, then it's a good kirtan. And the mridangas should be very, very loud. So if it's, so Srila Prabhupada says, it was nice. It was clanging and banging. Kirtan should be melodious. And yeah, you have these whoompers to hit the sardas. And then they went with a few devotees, and they were, they had, Srila Prabhupada said, come on, we will have kirtan. So they were singing, and Srila Prabhupada was looking at them and said, so, sweet and melodious. that's how Srila Prabhupada liked it. And after, so sometimes Srila Prabhupada would stop these ecstatic kirtans and would say, no screaming and shouting. Okay, something else, like this Vijayaraj Prabhu said. He says, most of the time in our temples, the instruments are played much louder than the singer's voice. It often happens that only the musical instruments are heard, and the actual glorification of the Lord is barely heard. According to the musical rules, the instrument should be subordinate to the actual voice of the singer. Anyway, it's good if there's instruments, but if you don't hear the Maha Mantra anymore, then it's not so good. Anyway, okay, there's many things. Many things. Okay, I'll just choose on this there. And playing too loud, too complicated. this one should be good. It says, Sattvarup Das Goswami says, at one of the ISKCON international festivals in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada rejected the singing of one of his disciples. The devotee had previously been a singer in a band, and his kirtanas were very much appreciated by some devotees, especially those from his home temple. So he was a musician. He was like, he knew it. But when, with showy professionalism, he began leading the Guru Puja in Prabhupada's presence, making the tune sound like a rock and roll ballad, he started chanting Guru Puja. Like, Shri Guru Puja, oh, no, I don't know how he's singing because I'm not a professional. Prabhupada didn't like it. He shook his head and indicated that someone else should lead. The great kirtan singer was devastated by the rejection, another form of Prabhupada's mercy. Okay, so it's just some examples. So there's many and many things I found out that we're not doing right nowadays. Sometimes we're not doing according to what Srila Prabhupada wanted.
Anyway, the whole idea is that we should not try to enjoy, we should not try to renounce, we should try to serve, and we should try to see, serve the way Srila Prabhupada wanted us. Like even if we do the service, like chanting Hare Krishna, we should go to the point where we learn how Srila Prabhupada wanted us to chant Hare Krishna. Or how Srila Prabhupada wanted us to cook or do arti or whatever service we have. And then it's more pleasing for Srila Prabhupada and, because that's what we actually want to do. Okay, I'll stop here. There's some concerns, comments, questions. Magda Marcel is the question. We have some microphone somewhere, but it's...
Thank you for inspiring lecture. I would just like to ask, you mentioned that even when trying to engage in sankara service, this one tendency to enjoy and to renounce sometimes comes. So I would just like to ask, how can we recognize that we are under the influence of this enjoyment and renunciation? How can we recognize this if it is somewhat hidden sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes it's obvious. How to recognize it? Well, it's very one thing. You have to know what is the proper thing, and because if you don't know if you don't read this kirtan standard, you don't know what the standard is, then you will not recognize that. Oh, this is not according to the standard. But if you know that what the standards are, then it's easier. And so that's one thing. And the other is, if you don't recognize, you can ask some devotees who recognize to maybe help you say, oh. Usually devotees will give you some hints if you're attentive.
I have a question and a comment. The question is, you said that devotees sometimes think like this very exuberant to enjoy, and I want to ask what enjoyment is there in clapping the karakara so loud that you cannot hear yourself?
There is. Yeah, there's different types of enjoyment, but it's a taste, you know. Like for this, if you there's probably music also is also affected in the by the three modes, and there's some people like we have this we're mocking these rock singers. Sometimes some people find a taste in wow, kill your parents, oh, you know. Some people find there is some.
But you can at least hear the voice there, because they do respect those musical standards that instruments are lower than the voice, because otherwise you wouldn't know the words. It means that you managed to hear them.
Yeah. Anyway, there is some taste, but it's probably material taste. It's not some.
I have a comment regarding to everything that you said. That Advaita Maharaj is in the process of publishing a book called Kirtan Standard,
yeah.
And I'm fairly sure that he will be quite in accordance to how Prabhupada wants us to sing the kirtan.
Yeah, what I was reading, there's I found on Iskon Desire Tree.
Yes.
It's probably it's from his.
He also published it on his blog online.
No, it's on Iskon Desire Tree. So yeah, it's from there. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you so much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.